I'd like to ask if you would to take God's word and go with me to Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter number 5. And my wife told me that one of the ladies in the church had said to her, she said, my little one asked the other day when they got home from church, and says, with a concerned in their voice, a concerned tone, why does the pastor keep preaching from Luke chapter 5? Luke chapter number 5. And we have been studying this chapter, these 11 verses, and I'm bringing to you the 10th message and the final message from this series of messages, Launch Out into the Deep. And as we approach these verses this evening, I want you in your mind's eye to see yourself there on the shore of Galilee listening to the teaching of the Lord, but you have a unique seat. You're not seated on the bank. You're seated in the boat. You're one of Peter's crewmen. And the Lord has said to us, launch out. Launch out. I want us to look together these verses, Luke chapter 5 and verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes, which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I want you to notice, if you would please, in verse number 4, as the Lord says, launch out into the deep. I want to speak to you on this subject as we conclude this study of these 11 verses, launching out. Launching out. And I want us to review some key thoughts, some key principles. I want to give you some reminders as we, as a church, launch out. As I said to you this morning, as I have watched the Lord work in our lives and in our church, we see that God has brought the pieces together and the people together in the Lord's timing so that we can launch out into the deep for His honor and for His glory. It's not as if we've not launched out before, because we have. But I want you to know that every day we need to launch out for Him. Every day. And as a church family, we're praying that God is leading us in this year to launch out. And when we talk about launching out, we understand that we're not going after fish. We're going after souls. And that is the work that God has called us to do, to launch out. And every person in this church, every member of this church, is a part of the crew. And every person is necessary, and every person is essential to the task. And as we listen to the Lord's command, as He says, launch out, there's some things that we need to be reminded of, and I want to give them to you as we summarize what we find in these verses. And I do hope that you'll write these things down. As we launch out, I want you to remember, number one, give the Lord an opportunity to use you. Give the Lord an opportunity to use you. Look in verse number 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. I want you to know that God wants to use you. God wants to use each and every one of you. Each and every one of you have been uniquely gifted and uniquely called by God. God has uniquely placed you in the body of believers. As he would take in the Old Testament, we have the picture of the temple that Solomon built. And the workers would go down and they would quarry the stone. They would gather the stone from the quarry and they would begin to work on that stone and shape that stone and mold that stone so that once they brought it to the site of the construction, once they brought it to the temple site, that stone fit perfectly with the other stones. And the Bible tells us that God has placed us as lively stones into His temple. And so we understand we all have an essential place. And we are to give the Lord an opportunity to use us. And as we launch out, we need to ask ourselves this question. Have we given God total access to our vessel? I'm speaking to our lives. Have we allowed the Lord to enter in to our vessel? And then I want you to notice, as the Lord entered into the ship, He said, thrust out a little from the land. Thrust out a little. Begin somewhere and allow God to use you. Our Greater Hickory Mission gives you an opportunity just to thrust out a little. Our Launch Out Saturday gives you an opportunity to thrust out a little. Joining the choir gives you an opportunity to thrust out a little. Serving as an usher or a greeter gives you an opportunity to thrust out a little. Taking a gospel track and giving it to your coworker or to your neighbor or to the grocery store clerk, that gives you an opportunity to thrust out a little. Give the Lord an opportunity to use you, number one. Number two, as we launch out, we are to listen to God's voice. Listen to God's voice. The Lord entered into the ship and He began, the Bible says, as He sat down, He taught the people, verse number 3, He taught the people out of the ship. Verse 4, now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. We need to constantly be listening to God's voice. The Bible says, or the Lord said often as He taught the people, He said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Sometimes our ears get filled with things. They get filled with other voices, competing voices. We men learn how to have a lot of noise and to selectively hear what we want to hear. Right, ladies? We have selective hearing. And oftentimes, we miss the message because we're not listening. And as God's people, we need to learn to tune our hearts in and listen to God's voice. Now, how do we listen to God's voice? Well, we listen to God's voice by entering in daily into our Bible and reading God's Word and studying God's Word. We listen to God's voice by being involved in taking full advantage of every opportunity that we have to hear the Word of God preached and taught. We listen to God's voice. As the Holy Spirit of God reminds us throughout the week and prompts us throughout the week to witness or to do something that God is leading us to do, we're hearing God's voice. And so as God's people, we need to learn to listen. And I want you to notice something. As you listen to Him speak to all, you will begin to hear Him speak to you specifically. Would you write that down? As you listen to God speak to all, you will begin to hear Him speak specifically to you. You see Peter sitting there in the boat, and he's listening to the Lord teaching. And remember, the Lord's teaching was unlike any other that was ever heard. He taught with authority. He taught with great power. And as Peter is listening, he's receiving the words of God into his heart. Then the Lord is able to specifically speak to him about launching out. And I want to tell you, as you develop an appetite for God's Word, as you learn to listen to God, then God is going to have an opportunity to speak specifically to you. Give the Lord an opportunity to use you. Number one. Number two, listen to God's voice. Number three, as we launch out into the deep, we must remember to submit to the authority of God's Word. Submit to the authority of God's Word. The Bible tells us there in verse 4, "Now when he had left off," or when he had left speaking, "he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." He submitted himself to the authority of God's Word. Now remember, the timing is that it is mid-morning, early afternoon. It is no longer the time to be fishing. The great fishing time was in the nighttime or in the very early morning hours. But now the heat of the sun is upon the face of the waters. It is not a good time to go fishing. The day is done. The men are tired. They've toiled all the night. They've taken nothing. They know the lake. They know what's out there. And they're saying it's not the time to go fishing, and this isn't the place at this moment in time to go. And all of their experience and all of their knowledge, which was vast concerning that lake and those fish, they realized this is a bad idea. But nevertheless, they submitted to the Word of God. They said, it's not going to be our experience that becomes the authority, our opinion, our knowledge, our thoughts, our desires, not even what our flesh wants. We are going to submit, we're going to yield to the authority of God's Word. The authority of God's Word. Submit to the authority of God's Word. Do not place yourself, your opinions, your feelings above the Word of God. Submit to God's Word. Number four, step out in obedience to God's Word. It's one thing to say that God's Word has the authority. It's one thing to say, I'm submitting to the Lord, but it is another thing to obey. Obey God. Very few of the members of our church would say, I'm not going to do what the Bible says. I'm not going to submit. I know what the Bible says, but I'm just not going to do it. We're not going to regard it at all. Very few of us would actually say that. But when it comes to doing it, well, now that's another story, isn't it? It's like I told the Sunday school class this morning. Oftentimes, when we know what to do, what we need to do and what we don't need to do, it doesn't mean we necessarily do those things. Right? How many of you know it's not a good idea to go home tonight and eat some ice cream or some cake and You know, that's probably not a good idea. But some of us will go home and do it, right? Or you might go home and eat some pizza or some chili or a hot dog or a hamburger or french fries. And yeah, amen. Sounds good to me, right? Y'all ready to go? Let's go now. Somebody call Wendy's. We're on the way. But you know, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, you might say, oh, man, alive, where's the Tums? That's not a good idea. You see, there's the difference between knowing what to do and doing it. Most of the churches in this county know what to do. Most of the Christians who really know the Lord and know God's Word, we know what to do, don't we? But there's a difference between knowing what to do and doing it. That's where the rubber meets the road, doesn't it? Step out in obedience. Begin to do what God tells you. You say, well, listen, I know I'm supposed to witness. Well, then begin to witness. If you're worried about speaking, or then just start handing out gospel tracts. Go through the drive-thru when you get your biscuit in the morning and take a gospel tract and say, let me give you something to read. You can do that. You say, I know I'm supposed to tithe, but I don't think I can trust the Lord enough here. Just obey the Lord and see what God does, right? Tithe your income. Give to the Lord. Be faithful in church. Be faithful to serve. Read the Bible. Pray. Do you always feel like it? I don't. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't. I don't always feel like it. Can I shock you? I don't always feel like coming to church. I've told you before, Wednesdays seem for some reason to be tough. For me, I think the devil really works. I try to study on Wednesdays, and they're just struggling days often. Not always, but often. And there are people that told me they pray for me on Wednesday, and I appreciate that. But there are days when I don't necessarily feel like it, but when I get here, I'm going to tell you, when I obey God despite my feelings, by the way, I better obey Him or I'm going to be in trouble with you all, right? When I obey God despite my feelings, God always blesses. And I'm always encouraged. And I'm always strengthened by God's people, by God's Word. Step out in obedience. Just trust the Lord. Do it. Do it. Number 5. Expect God to do great things. Expect God to do great things. Can I ask you a question? Has God lost His power? Has the gospel lost its power? Can God do great things? Absolutely. God can do great things. God said, the Lord said here to Peter, He said, launch out, let down your nets for a draught. That means for a load. I'm gonna load you up. And He did. He loaded up His boat and the boat of the crewman. And it was the boat of the other crew. And the load was so great, the ships were sinking. They could barely get them in. They could barely get them to shore. I mean, God said, I'm going to do some great things. And I'm going to tell you something. God wants to do great things in our church. And He is doing great things in our church. Now, that can't always be measured by the number. No, God doesn't just work in numbers, but it's always encouraging to see new people coming. And it's encouraging to see people being faithful. It's encouraging to see growth in our church. And we rejoice in what God is doing. It's wonderful to see God answer prayer. It's wonderful to see God meet needs. I was coming out of my office, and as I was coming out, I saw people hugging one another and encouraging one another. Well, that encouraged me. I'd rather be in a church like that than one where people won't talk to each other. You know, there are churches like that. They're so divided. They have groups of people who sit on one side who won't speak to the people who sit on the other. And if the pastor speaks to one, then the other group gets mad at him. I heard of that type of church just this week. I'm glad we don't have a church like that, aren't you? Don't be a Christian like that. We don't have a church like that, but there may be a few members like that. Don't be like that. Let's expect God to do great things. God is able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think. We can't even comprehend what God wants to do. Listen, if we knew what God really desires for this church, it would blow all of our minds. It'd blow my mind. We cannot comprehend what God really wants to do. Don't you want to be a part of that? Don't you want to see those things happen? And by the way, every day is not that kind of day. In fact, most days are mundane days. Most days are struggles. Most days are work days with the sweat and the grime and the tiredness and we fight and battle the discouragement and it seemingly comes to us that we're not going to see results. And not every day is a great grand day, but here's what we know. If we'll be faithful, God is faithful and He's going to bless and we'll see God do great things. And when God does them, then we'll know it's not us, it's Him. Expect God to do great things. Don't be down in the mouth. Don't be discouraged. Trust God. The Bible says in verse 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Wouldn't you like to be a part of that? I mean, to see hundreds of people come to know the Lord. Wouldn't you like to see that happen? Wouldn't you like to see the Sunday school classes start? New classes begin? Wouldn't you like to see that? Wouldn't you like to see young people who've been in sin get saved and their life changed? Wouldn't you like to see broken homes mended? Wouldn't you like to see that? Wouldn't you like to see people who are addicted to drugs and alcohol to have their lives reclaimed and to have the victory? Wouldn't you like to see that? I mean, wouldn't you like to see that great draft of fishes? I want to see that, don't you? I want my children to see it. I heard again this week the statistics of the numbers of young people who leave the churches. What are they seeing while they're here? Listen, I'm convinced of this. We need teaching plans and we need apologetics and we need all of that. But here's what we really need. We need the power of God. We need the power of God. You say, how are we going to have it? There's no substitute for prayer and holiness. No substitute for it. What we want to do is we want to shortcut that. But I'm here to tell you, there's no substitute for people who are praying. Listen, Mom and Dad, the greatest thing we can do for our kids is to pray. Pray for the teachers. Pray for the workers. Pray that God would use them. Pray that God will help them. Pray for your children. Let's see God do great things. Number six, as we launch out, we must serve the Lord together with ministry partners. We must serve the Lord together with ministry partners. Look at verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Aren't you glad for the other ships? I'm glad for the other ships. There's so much fish out there, one ship can't bring them all in. We need other ships. I'm glad for the other ships in our community. I'm glad for those ships. They're not all painted the same color as ours. They don't have all the crewmen didn't all go to the same colleges and they may not wear the same exact uniform. I think you're understanding what I'm saying. They might not sing exactly the same songs, but they're in the other ship. They don't have to be just like us. Now, there's some things we can't ever compromise. You understand that? If you've been listening to me, I think you know what those things are. But we can work with people, and we have to work with each other. We have to work with each other. We are on a team. We are a crew on the ship. And we're launching out into the deep. And we all have a job. And we must work together to get the job done. And sometimes when you work together, there can be misunderstandings there. There can be miscommunication. There can be hurt feelings. And we have to learn to die to that. And we have to be faithful. We have to know what our place is, so that we can serve the Lord together to bring in the draft. We all have to participate. Look, don't just think you can just show up at church and you've done God a favor and done us a favor. Participate in what God has given us. The word participate means we all have a part. The partner. It means that the partner has a part in what is going on. Do you know that God is so gracious He gives us a part in His work? We have an interest in it. That's pretty good. Look, when it's a different. It's one thing to be employed in a place. It's another thing to own the place. The attitude changes when you're in ownership, right? God's made us all part owners with Him. Heirs and joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. That means we got a stake in this thing. We have a stake in it. And we need to mind the store. We need to work together for God. We all have to participate. We all must communicate. Boy, that's not an easy thing. The more I go and the more I learn, I understand how vitally important communication is. And communication is a two-way street. There is the one who is speaking. There is the one who is listening. And to be a good communicator, not only must you learn to speak well, but you better learn to listen well. Communication, vitally important. And we must communicate together and communicate God's message. And we all have to cooperate. And oftentimes to cooperate, we understand that we have to put our own agenda aside. We can't just cater to the needs of one or two when we have to do what is best for the whole crew. You understand that? And everybody can't have their way in everything, including, believe it or not, including me. We have to cooperate. We serve the Lord together with our ministry partners. Number seven. Stay with me. Three more. Stay astonished with Jesus. Stay astonished. The Bible says in verse number 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. God's power, God's person, when it is revealed to us, we are going to be astonished at Him. That means we're to be in awe with Him. Do not lose your fear of God. Can I say that to you? Do not lose your fear of God. For many Christians, and I think about young people who grow up in church and those who are in a youth group and they hear the teaching of the Word of God and they grow up in a Christian home where prayer and Bible reading is present, and they may attend a Christian school, or in their home school environment they hear the Word of God on a daily basis, or if they attend public school they have a home where they're hearing the Word of God, and what happens so often is as they grow up they can begin to take that for granted, and so do adults, and we lose our awe, we lose our fear of a holy God. Listen, this newfangled type of contemporary Christianity that brings God down to us, to our image, that wants to put on a pair of blue jeans and cowboy boots and put God in that and say, He's our buddy. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. He's our dearest friend, but He is a holy God. He is to be reverenced. He is to be feared. We are to live in awe of Him. And when we lose our awe of Him, we lose our reverence. We get casual about our worship. We get slipshod about our approach to Him. We can rush into prayer and rush out and forget that we are coming into the presence of a holy God. Have you studied the tabernacle and the worship? And what was required of those who approached unto God? There's nothing casual about it. There's nothing slipshod. There's certainly no hurry. They're not rushing in like going through a McDonald's drive-thru. I'll take my dose of religion for the day and off I go. Oh, no, no, no. We cannot lose our awe of who God is. Number eight, as we launch out, we need to understand His purpose in the world. His purpose. Now, here's what the world tells us our purpose should be. Get all you can all you get. That's it. Get all you can all you get. In other words, keep everything you get your hands on. And whoever gets the most and whoever has the most gets to enjoy the most, well, then, hey, that's success. No, it's not. Success is knowing God and obeying God. Success is knowing God's Word and having it in our hearts and living according to it. Understand God's purpose in the world. It's not about you, it's about Him. It's not about you, it's about those who are lost in sin, who need this message of salvation. Understand God's purpose. Notice what He said to Peter in verse number 10. He said, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." That's God's purpose. Why do we have a church? We have a church for one reason, to fulfill God's purpose. He established the church, all right? It wasn't a group of men who got together and said, "Hey, let's have a church." No, it was the Lord's idea. The Lord established the church and He commissioned the church. In other words, God gives us our mission. He gives us our mission. And that mission is to catch men. Like Peter was on the sea catching fish, he said, "I want you now to catch men. I want you to go after souls with the gospel." Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 19, He saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." If we want to know God's purpose, we just have to follow Him and follow Him on a daily basis. And so we need to understand what God's work in the world is. And oftentimes, as Christians and as church members, and as families, we can get off course. We can buy into the world, what the world tells us our purpose should be. And we're conditioned by that on a daily basis with the media, with the teachings of this world, and this secular educational system, and all the things that are being taught to us and impressed upon us in a daily fashion. It can condition us to forget what our purpose is. And we need to be reminded what our purpose is. Our purpose is to catch men. That's why we exist. And we're laborers together on the crew. And whatever we're doing to help catch men. When I worked for United Parcel Service, we had lots of jobs. We had people who worked in the building loading trucks and sorting. And we had people who were shifting the loads and the trailers, from door to door, helping connect the loads where they needed to go. We had people who were involved in washing the vehicles. That was their responsibility, to wash and fuel the vehicles. We had mechanics, and that was their responsibility to make sure the vehicles were running. We had accountants, and we had clerks, and we had phone operators and receptionists and managers, and all of those people had different tasks, but the one purpose that they had was to get packages delivered so UPS could make a profit. And if you didn't have that purpose in mind, then you didn't need a job there, because all the jobs work together to fulfill the grand purpose. And as Christians, we can't make ourselves the purpose. We have to make His purpose our purpose. Number eight, understand His purpose in the world. Number nine, and here's where we close. Forsake all and follow Him. Forsake all and follow Him. Forsake, as I said this morning, our way. Forsake this world. Let it go. Forsake the past. Embrace the future. And follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day we're going to be tempted to follow the world, to follow the flesh. The devil is going to try to attract us and draw us off course. You know, sometimes you're driving down the interstate and you see a billboard, you know, You're hungry, Chick-fil-A, next exit. McDonald's, next exit. There's a picture of a nice vanilla milkshake or a strawberry milkshake there on the billboard, and you see that and you say, boy, I could go for that. You see, that's what the devil does. He puts his signs all along our interstate and he says, hey, stop off here. There's something over here for you. Well, I think I'll check into that. And we get off course. What we need to do is just keep following Jesus. Every day. Every day. Follow Him. If you'd pray this prayer every morning, Lord, help me to follow You. I'm going to tell you, if you'll follow Him, you'll get everything you need to get done, done. Don't follow your to-do list. Don't follow your responsibility list or your checklist. Follow Jesus. Let Him lead you. And as He leads you and the Holy Spirit empowers you and guides you, as you're filled with Him, as you're following Him, as you're embracing the cross, dying to self, involved in that construction, fighting in that conflict, God will lead you and guide you. So here we are. We're in the boat. Jesus says, launch out into the deep. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Want to hit the waters? Want to get out on the open seas? You ready to let the nets down? Are we ready? Give the Lord an opportunity to use you. Listen to His voice. Submit to the authority of His Word. Step out in obedience to His Word. Expect Him to do great things. Serve the Lord together with your partners. Stay astonished with the Lord Jesus. Understand His purpose in the world. Forsake all and follow Him. Let's have all hands on deck. Amen? Let's stand together. Are you willing to say to the Lord, I'm ready to launch out. I don't know exactly where You're going to launch me. I don't know exactly what You're going to do. And Lord, I want to see You do something. I want to see You do something in my life. I want to see You do something in my home. I want to see You do something in our church and our community and in our world. And I just want to launch out. I want to say my hands are on deck. I want to ask the Lord to use me. These 9 things, we'll review them time and time again. But maybe as God is speaking to your heart, there's some things you need to deal with in prayer. We invite you to come. Our Father, we pray, O Lord, that You would speak to us and that we would be obedient, and that as a church You would launch us out for Your honor and glory. We thank You for our time together in this wonderful, wonderful record of how You called Peter to follow You. We thank You for the truths that we've learned, and we pray, God, that You would seal these truths to our hearts and that our lives would never be the same, that there would truly be a from henceforth in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 408?